Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5, or with a breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. We're going to empty Richie's notebook once again from the 7-on-7 tournament yesterday at Rutgers, talk about who stood out, who won the tournament, who we should keep an eye on moving forward in recruiting. We're also going to discuss the how the 2025 class we see filling out. Richie's got some updates on some of Rutgers' remaining top targets. But first, like always, this podcast is presented to you by Night and Day Apparel. Beat the heat this summer with our hot one-of-a-kind products. The temperature's rising. There's no better time to refresh your wardrobe with cool and stylish summer essentials. Whether you're planning a beach getaway, a picnic in the park, or simply lounging in the yard, we've got you covered. Visit our website today and explore a full range of summer essentials, from pool floats and spatulas to bathing suits and tank tops. Use our promo code RutgersRivals. That's RutgersRivals, no spaces. You can get 10% off your purchase, and that's just not your first purchase. Anytime you want to make a purchase on the site, you can use that for 10% off. Shop now and keep chopping.
Not gonna lie, the beach shorts look kind of fire.
Yeah, I like those.
The old logo, a little brownish, like almost kind of complements the sand type when you're at the Jersey Shore. It's just oof.
I think those would look really sick in like the old school, like penny short style too.
Ooh, yes, yeah, 100%.
Yep,
but good.
Like we said last time, the pool floats, unfortunately, are out of stock right now because you guys bought them all. You guys bought every single one they had. Maybe that was in part Pykele's pool party, but I think I'd like to think that it was some of you guys too.
Yeah.
So let's talk this 7-on-7 camp. Yesterday, Rutgers held its annual 7-on-7 camp, which also they do now with the Big Man Academy camp or the Big Man camp, whatever they call it. So they had them both going on at the same time. The Big Man camp was going on at the stadium and the 7-on-7 was going on in the practice field surrounding the stadium. Let's first talk about the 7-on-7. How many teams roughly were there? And we can kind of talk about the, you know, some of the top teams that you saw there as well.
That is a good question. I have the brackets. I think it was like 50 to 55 around there. When it was all said and done, but teams from all over the country. I know one team drove 6 hours from upstate New York just to get to Rutgers today. I know we'll talk about them a little later, but the winners, Roman Catholic, actually left Syracuse camp early yesterday or the day before on Friday, and then just to get to Rutgers on Saturday. So yeah, I mean, and they were 3-0, I think, in Syracuse before they left. So they, you know, could have been back-to-back champs, but They knew which staff to go to. Besides the point, a bunch of different schools, bunch of different programs. There's obviously some programs like I'm trying to think. Like South Jersey has one. It's just kind of weird. So it's not just AAU. It's more like high school teams make their own 7-on-7, and then you see like NLG had a 7-on-7 at one point, but now they're Roman Catholic, and ASG has one. Like they're. It's almost like a combination of high school teams also with like their own travel programs, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
But yeah, tons of different top targets, tons of big names on campus regardless. Some guys were committed elsewhere, of course, but these guys still showed up for their team, still showed up and showed out a little bit too. But tons of Rutgers targets, tons of Rutgers commits. It was just an overall a pretty good day and a hot day, I will say. It was brutal.
Yeah, it's been brutal for a week straight and no different yesterday. And there's no shade really on those practice fields.
No,
you're just kind of standing there baking Just, you know, hoping for the sweet release of death at that point.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Roman Catholic won the tournament. Were there any standouts on that team that kind of led them to victory, or was it just overall a pretty loaded team in general?
I mean, they're pretty loaded in general. Roman Catholic is essentially, who can I compare them to? I don't want to say Bergen because that's like more St. Joe's prep, but they're probably like a Don Bosco type where they produce a couple of Power 5 guys or Power 4 guys every year. Their quarterback is a 2026 guy, Samaj Beals. I think without a doubt is the top quarterback in the Northeast for the 2026 class. Now, wow. I know he has a Rutgers offer. Obviously, he was at Rutgers for this camp. He's been to Rutgers before, but I don't see Rutgers landing him. I actually see him going completely like out of the Northeast area. He's was really skinny when I first met him a couple years ago, but he's kind of started to pack on more and more weight, and he just has kind of came into his own a little bit. Very accurate quarterback, not like no pressure whatsoever when he's out there. Doesn't take like kind of crazy shots either. He knows when to take the deep shot. He knows when to throw it away if need be. Now some of these camps, you can't really throw it away, but there was a couple of times where you see him just kind of almost spike the ball. Cause he's like, all right, I know better. Like I'm not going to even chance it. Cause some of these DBs were pretty nasty to be honest with you, but he, just a very smart quarterback. I think he's really coming into his own. I think he's going to be get a little bump in the future. I think he's a 5.73 star right now, but very, very good, very talented. They also have an under the radar kid, and I can't remember his last name for the life of me. I know it's Corey, and I want to say Palmer for some reason, but I want to say it was Corey Smith. It's Corey something, and I posted about him. But he is a 2025 kid that I think it's insane to me right now that he only has one G5 offer, and that's from Temple. Now, he's got a couple PWOs from Power 4 schools, I was told, but this kid is a phenomenal athlete, DB, wide receiver. You can kind of mix and match whatever you really want him to play at the next level, but he's a kid that's really showed out, not just at this camp, but at multiple camps. Like going into today, he tweeted out, or I should say Saturday. Going into the Saturday, he tweeted out like, hey, I'm going to Rutgers. I had three different rivals analysts text me and be like, yo, watch that kid. Watch him. Start watching him, and it's like, who's that kid? And I'm like, oh, yep, that's the one that everyone told me about. Like that makes that makes a lot of sense. Like he is very talented. Just a kid to keep a close eye on. I don't think they would offer Christian Palmer. I want to say Corey Palmer because I was a former NJ prospect, but Christian Palmer, 6 foot, 175 from Roman Catholic. But it's maddening to me that he does not have more offers. Someone has to go look at this kid's tape and watch him. I know he's a little under the radar right now, but I wouldn't be shocked if he added a bunch of G5s. If I'm Rutgers, I'm throwing a PWO at him at the bare minimum. I know they're out of receiver spots currently, and they're out of cornerback spots too, obviously. But I would throw something at this kid just to make sure I can get him on campus because from what I was told from his coaches, he's just such a hard worker, and every time he goes out there, he's trying to get better and better and better. And you love that. You love hearing that from the coaching staff specifically. But I will say I know a couple Rutgers coaches were keeping a close eye on him, so you never know. Maybe a PWO down the line. But that Roman Catholic team, very talented, almost back-to-back champs, like I said, from Syracuse and then Rutgers, but they left early and really good performance from their whole team.
Yeah, I'm looking at his profile now. Like you said, he's a 5.73 star, 26 recruit, but he's got kind of a who's who of all, in terms of quarterback offers. Yeah. You know, he's got USC, Texas. He's got Rutgers, like you mentioned, Penn State, yep. Ohio State. He's got Georgia. He's got Alabama. Seems like he can kind of pick wherever he wants to go and should get a bump based on those offers.
Yeah, but very, very, very talented quarterback.
Let's go with some of the other top players that you saw, whether they be, 25 kids who are committed, whether they be future kids in the classes of 26, 27, and even some 28s. Who were some other kids that really caught your eye at the camp?
Early on in the day, I watched a little bit of DePaul. They were at the intramural fields, I think they're called. Watching a little bit of them, very talented group there. They make Derek Zammit's life very easy. Derek Zammit's probably the Rutgers top 2026 quarterback target. DePaul, he looked a little taller than I thought he was. I know some people have speculated that he might not be 6 foot as listed. I'd say he's probably about 6'1 now. He's starting to pack on a little muscle. Almost a similar to an AJ Serace type build, but a little bit shorter. His life is so easy when you have Elijah Burris, who's committed, Plaxico Burris' son, who's committed to Notre Dame. They have Desi Jones, who plays both ways, mostly going to be a wide receiver at the next level, committed to Ohio State. And then they have Deshaun Stewart, who also plays both ways and is also committed to Ohio State. So when you have those three, your life is extremely simple. It's not that hard. You just got – these guys are open nonstop. But I thought they were very talented. I thought they looked really good. Who else was I watching over there? What's the other team? I can't remember now. Oh, Don Bosco. Don Bosco has some intriguing guys, and I'm trying to still figure out their names from a couple of them. Renick Dorilis was on the sideline with his Don Bosco teammates, but he wasn't playing. I don't know if that has to do with his previous injury that he suffered at the Under Armour camp or not, but it also might have something to do with the transfer rules in New Jersey because they're stupid and the NJSIAA is fucking corrupt. I'll say it. Like, they are just let these guys transfer. If you can transfer in colleges, there should be no reason why you have to sit out 30 days or whatever for high school. Regardless, they have a really good linebacker that's pretty young. I got to figure out their names, and they have a really good player who's number 4 this weekend. I think his last name was Allen, if I read it correctly. Great route runner, easy touchdown in game 1, easy touchdown in game 2. Looked really, really good. After that, I bumped over to the practice fields for what the hell is it called? The Marco Battaglia practice complex. And I was watching Elizabeth High School, and they're coached by former Montclair head coach John Fiore. And some of you might remember him a little bit for the sole fact that he produced a long list of guys actually at Montclair, but Sean Collins specifically, who was the Rutgers guy for Montclair. But he's over at Elizabeth now. And I'm watching, and I saw the quarterback, and I'm like, holy shit, that kid's got a little bit of a cannon. They kind of rolled out at one point and just chucked it in perfect throw, perfect everything. Hit this guy in stride. And I was like, damn, the wide receiver actually looked pretty good too. And all of a sudden, like, one of their coaches comes over to me and goes, they're 2027s. And I was like, the fuck?
Wow.
2027s. Like, oh my God. Like, I keep watching. And I see the staff actually start to show up. You saw Dave Brock show up. You saw Kirk Shiraka show up. Saw Matt Hewitt and a bunch of other guys start to watch. And it's like, wow, I picked the right field, number one. But number two, you start watching this kid throw more and more, and I'm like, oh my God, he's a 2027. I had someone come up to me, and they're like, yo, how old's that kid? And I was like, I think he's a freshman. And I looked him up, I watched his tape, and I'm like on the sideline, I'm like, oh my God, he had like 1,700 yards as a true freshman, or a high school freshman. I was like, wow, he's got a shot. Like, if he can kind of move a little bit, and I was looking at his numbers, and he's got some mobility. I think he ran for like 300 yards, but I don't want to do this kid a disservice. I think his name was Enrique Fleming or something like that. But he's very talented. And then the DB slash wide receiver that they have, Najee Smith, he's already got BC, Syracuse, Maryland. Like, very, very talented duo they have going on there at Elizabeth. I would keep a close eye on them. I know 2027's a ways away, which is like kind of crazy to say, considering like I thought I was old or young, I should say. But that's like 15 years after I graduated high school. Like, holy shit.
I know. It goes fast, man.
Yeah. But Arik Fleming, great quarterback. I thought a lot of talent. And then Najee Smith, very talented athlete slash safety slash wide receiver, kind of did it all for them. But those two, saw some Michael Thomas, Rutgers commit, thought he looked pretty good. Had another guy tell me this weekend that they thought he could be a running back at the next level, and I can kind of see where they're coming from. Not the greatest route runner in the world, but does have some skills, really good hands. He has really good vision in the open field too. Once he has that ball in the open field, it's like kind of a juke step, and that's it, and he's gone. And you kind of saw that on one of the clips I posted on the Rutgers Rivals Twitter. But I think the best player I probably saw this Saturday was Sine DeGraffenreit. I thought he was just mega talented. I'm a little upset that, like, we dropped him a little bit in the rankings, and I'm just going to say it's not my fault personally, but I'm a little upset we dropped him. I think we have to bump him up. Like, he looked very, very good against multiple top teams. He just has the long wingspan, traditional receiver, great hands, great route running. I wish he had some better weapons, I'll say, on his offense to help him out a little bit. But there were some struggles at times. But even then, like, he's still coaching guys up. Like, and I love seeing that too from guys. Like, instead of getting like a little angry at yourself or angry at your teammates and being like, what the hell, like, you couldn't get it to me, this guy's sitting there trying to help, like, tell his teammates, like, yo, hit me in stride instead, don't hit me here, because you hit me here, then the guy's gonna jump the route and then you're done. So, like, it was just nice to see. But I thought he was very, very talented. I think he has the frame and body to play from like day one, if need be. Now, you don't think he's going to play from day one because they're starting to build wide receiver depth, but very, very talented kid. I will be making a trip down to AC at least once, maybe twice, down to the high school. but no, I will definitely go check him out a couple times this year just because he was very talented in the 7-on-7 against some top competition. So I'm curious to see what he can actually do on the football field against in an actual game.
Were there any other Rutgers commits that were there that you got to see in action?
I feel like I'm missing someone. I don't think so. I think it was just the duo of Mike Thomas and Sinead Graffin. Like I said, Renick Dorillis was there, but he didn't play. I feel like I'm completely missing someone and I can't really. No, but there were, like I said before, there were commits from other schools like Lyric Samuel of Erasmus Hall. It's kind of a kick in the nuts a little bit that he didn't end up at Rutgers because Rutgers has a good relationship with that school. But he's so talented. Like I don't even know, like maybe the best receiver there, maybe second best receiver there behind the Sine. Wow. He's just very tall. He actually grew a little bit, I was told. He's like 6'5", 6'4"-ish, and he towers over everyone. He's skinny, great route runner. I've seen him a couple times, though. He's committed to Penn State, but he won the Under Armour MVP, wide receiver MVP, a couple weeks ago, I should say, in New Jersey camp, and just very talented kid. But I think that was pretty much it. Yeah, just a couple of them.
Anything else that you heard from the event or any other kind of nuggets that you want to drop before we talk about how do you think the 25 class ends up?
Yeah, there was an interesting one. So I was talking to a couple guys throughout, and there's a lot of hype around this Rutgers football season. Now the high school coaches specifically, like they obviously talk to the staff probably more than anyone, because if you have a kid that's committed, they're going to talk to you more than anyone. Sure. But some of these high school coaches are like, man, I think like 9-10, and I'm like, yeah, like I know everyone keeps saying 9-10. Everyone keeps saying 9-10. But then like you hear it more and more and more, and it's like it's word of mouth at the end of the day from the staff to these guys, and they're telling me now. I think there's a lot of optimism around Rutgers right now. I think whether it be the new offense, whether it be the 90% of the team returning, new quarterback who's more than likely going to be more accurate than last year. I think that there's a ton of hype around this program. And I don't want to say 10 wins, but there's a lot of optimism that they could potentially get there and sneak in the CFP. And if they sneak, I don't want to say the word, but if they sneak in the CFP, holy shit, man, this would turn things around quite a bit. And I know a lot of people have said, give Shiano 4 or 5 years. This is year four. It's this would be the year if it's going to do it.
Yeah, we are on the doorstep of the season, truly kicking off, and it would be this 2006 level excitement if that was the season played out. Especially given that, like, you know, the season's going to be more exciting for more teams later in the year. Like, I think most November weekends, there's what, like one really important game in the past. Yep. Where it's like, this is essentially like an elimination game, like an Auburn or an Alabama LSU or, you know, any of those big time matchups. Now you're going to have those 3, 4, 5 games like that each week in November, which is going to keep people a lot more invested in college football, in my opinion.
And I'm looking at it now. I don't want to jinx it, but say you have one loss, maybe two losses going into those final four games in November. You're playing Minnesota. You kind of have their number since PJ Fleck taken over. Maryland, hit or miss. It goes back and forth each year, it seems like. But I would say this is a down year for Maryland. They lost their quarterback. Illinois, Brett Bielema has some good teams, some bad teams. I don't even know how to judge that team ever. And then Michigan State, who's off a barn burner of a year where they went 4-8. You get those four with one loss, two losses. I'm just saying. I hate to do this hype, but
like, I do want to stop you there. Rutgers has never beaten Minnesota in football. They're 0-3.
I'm wrong. Wow.
But it feels like we've kind of owned them because we just take their coaches whenever we want. Well, but the two games that Shiano coached, the one game Shiano coached against Minnesota was a 31-0 loss.
I lied. I take it back. Yeah. But still, you never know. You stole their quarterback.
Stole their quarterback, stole their coaches, stole their safety, stole their, nose tackle, stole their guard.
And they are
Rutgers they're basically a feeder program to Rutgers, even if they have beaten us all three times that we've played them in our history.
I will say Shiano has a pretty good track record. Maybe not against Minnesota, but against his former proteges. Coaches. Yeah.
Overall, he does for sure.
Yeah.
Let's get into this 25 class, though. So you've kind of laid out how you think this class will finish in terms of positions. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about specific players. So linebacker, it looks like they have two top targets still on the board.
Yep.
One being DJ McClary, the kid from Snyder High School.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Stressed about pests? When you have pest problems, don't call just anyone. Call the Orkin Pro. For more than 120 years, Orkin offers unparalleled service, helping protect homes and businesses from termites, rodents, mosquitoes, and other insects. With Orkin by your side, you don't have to wonder about the outcome of your pest problem. We'll solve it guaranteed. And if bugs creep up between services, we'll be on your doorstep free of charge. Orkin, the best in pests. Learn more at Orkin.com.
Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5, or with a breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Who's currently committed to Penn State, and Kamar Archie, the linebacker from the Hun School. Let's first talk about DJ McClary. He's still committed to Penn State. He was taking some time after his Penn State visit to kind of figure out what his plans were. Where do you think things stand with DJ McClary and Rutgers?
I think Rutgers still has a pretty good shot there. From what I was told, that May 31st visit is still by far his best official visit out of all the two trips he's taken. The fact that Tom Allen was taking over for Manny Diaz, and Manny Diaz was like, I'm telling you right now, Manny Diaz and DJ were like this. They were so close, and the fact that he left hurt their recruitment quite a bit. Duke almost got back involved in his recruitment for the sole fact that Manny Diaz is down there. Wow. Now, at the end of the day, it's still Duke, so it's like, it's cool and all. Like, don't get me wrong, they're recruiting at a higher level than a normal Duke program, but it's still not Big Ten football. It's still ACC football at the end of the day, and it's Duke. You don't care about football. I mean, you go there, you care about basketball. So it's going to be tough. I think they have a good shot, though, right now. He still hasn't decided, and the longer this kind of drags out, I think it's honestly the better for Rutgers, I was told. So keep an eye on that. I mean, from everything kind of points in the direction of Rutgers right now, on top of the fact that they kind of wanted him to camp a little bit, too, which doesn't help things. I know they were a little concerned about one of his times at like a recent camp. At the end of the day, like, you put on tape, I don't care what the kid's testing out as a 40-yard dash or a 5'10" 5-cone drill. Like, end of the day, if you put on his tape and he's good, and like, that's it, he's good.
Yeah.
I think he's a phenomenal prospect. I think he dropped out of the Rivals 250 in our recent update, but I still think he's a certified 4-star by far. Like, he's probably a top 5 kid in the state, if I had to guess. Not even guess, if I had to say, I should say. But Yeah, very talented. I think Rutgers is a good shot. He hasn't made a decision yet. The longer this kind of drags out, the better for Rutgers. But I wouldn't be shocked also if we heard some news over the next, like, say, a week or two.
Yeah, that would kind of fall in line with what you originally were hearing. So that's good to hear that nothing has really changed. What about Kamar Archie? Where do things stand there? I think he was supposed to be on a visit to Michigan, right?
Yeah, he ended up making that visit. Going into that visit, it was Rutgers or Clemson. Now, he took visits to, of course, Michigan this weekend, and he took a visit to Texas A&M on June 7th. Neither of them seem to be a big threat. It sounds like going in, no matter what, it kind of was Rutgers or Clemson. We know Clemson was making a significant push for him. We also know Clemson and Dabo do some weird shit with recruiting where they don't use NIL and they don't use the portal, so I don't understand or how to describe that one or how the recruitment works. But I think if Clemson pushes heavily, if they really, really, really want him, I think they could get him. But I don't think that's going to stop Rutgers either. I think Rutgers has a solid shot here. I'd probably say it's more of like a 55-45 in favor of Clemson at the moment, just because they're the more recent visit. But again, this goes back to that. He was on campus a couple weeks ago. These official visits are selling these kids better than ever. I think he has a good relationship with the staff. I think he's also been to campus, 30 times at this point? Like, if you go to his profile, it's insane. Like, you go Clemson, one visit, two visits. You go to Texas A&M, like, one visit. You go to Rutgers, it's like 50 visits. I think they still have a legitimate shot there. I think it's very close. I wouldn't say one way or another, and that's a big reason why we're not putting in a future cast, because it's hard to tell. These things change on a dime now, too, so that's the other issue. So we're kind of going back and forth with this one, but I think they have a legitimate shot at landing him.
Love to hear that. Would be a huge bolster for this linebacker class that doesn't really have anybody committed right now. So,
Isaiah Deloach.
Oh, that's right. You're right. And Stephen Murray possibly too.
He's weird. I think he probably comes at wide receiver to start. But after that, it really depends if he's successful or not there. That's one of those athlete types, and you figure it out later.
Gotcha. I think you had previously reported they're done at edge rusher, right?
Yes.
No more there. They're done at running back. They want to take one more offensive tackle, right?
Yeah, that's the point. Or offensive lineman. It doesn't have to be a tackle per se. That's going to be between Joshua Blackston from Cardinal Hayes. If they want
him, he's already committed, Blackston.
Oh, not Blackstone. What the hell am I thinking? Jaden Mann. I knew it started with a J.
Yep.
Jaden Mann. He went to Georgia Tech. He went to Rutgers. And I think he had another visit this weekend to West Virginia. He also visited Syracuse, but they're not really a threat. I don't think they're going to be much of a threat going forward, to be honest with you. I know there's a lot of hype around the Fran Brown train, and they have a good class. Don't get me wrong. Top 15 right now. Probably going to finish in top 35. That's solid for Syracuse. But this is going to be a Georgia Tech-Rutgers battle. West Virginia's on the outside looking in going into the weekend. I haven't checked in with anyone yet following the visit because it just ended, 4 hours ago, 5 hours ago. So I'll double-check with that. But I think if Rutgers wants him and pushes for him, they can land him. If they don't, the other option right now that's still on the board would be Woody Solution, who came up from Florida. I know we talked about him a couple weeks ago because he was one of two Florida offensive guards that was coming to visit between him and Jarrett Gordon. And it seemed like it was more of a either one of you commits or we're only taking one of you. So just whoever commits first, that's it. I think they might revisit that if they wanted to. They can just get him immediately. I think they're going to take their time, though. They're not just going to take a guy to take a guy. So I think Jaden Mann's first up, and then Woody Solution would be second in line, and then they'll kind of go from there for offensive line. Maybe there's a guy down the line that pops up out of nowhere. I remember a couple years ago, might have been last year actually, Chimdi Ona, who got a Rutgers offer, I think, a week before signing day. I think he ended up at Penn State. I don't even remember, to be honest with you.
I think you're right, because that was the kid who was committed to Old Dominion, right? Yep.
And then decommitted, and then got a bunch of offers, got Nebraska, got this, got that Rutgers, and... Yep. Yeah, so you want to save a couple offers just for those down-the-line kids, like linemen specifically, because out of nowhere, these kids just pop up, and it's like, who the hell is this 6'7", 350-pound guy from Trenton Central? And it's like, oh, wait a second, that's our guy that started, 50 games now at left tackle?
Yep.
Maybe less, maybe 40, but still, you get the point.
Yep.
Shout out to you, Paul Pierce.
Yeah, one of the biggest success stories in terms of finding a player. And I think his story is even weirder because I think he like basically just showed up one day and asked if he could try out.
Yeah, he it was wasn't supposed even like to they go recruited to, him. To a prep school down in the Carolinas, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
It's like one of those military academies he was supposed to go to, or military prep schools. And then he just came to campus and was like, oh, can I try out? And they're like, fuck. Like, yeah, hell yeah. Yep. We'll figure that out. And now he's an all Big Ten lineman, according to Phil Steele, I think it was.
Yeah, according to a lot of outlets. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he's able to boost his stock into a a mid-round draft pick, maybe a third rounder next year if things really go well. Because, honestly, he's just now getting into his, full football adult body. Like, the amount of transformation the guy's gone under is incredible. So super happy for him. Where else would this class kind of round out? Is there any other positions to keep an eye out for 25?
Yeah, last but not least is going to be defensive tackle. Now, Maxwell Roy is the gem that you would love to have. He likes Rutgers a lot. I mean, his top three right now, it was a top five. It's dropped to a top three. His top three is Michigan, Ohio State, and Rutgers. He's been to Rutgers quite a few times. I think he's been to Rutgers more than the other two, to be honest with you. This sounded like it was all Ohio State. Michigan made a push. Now it sounds like it's all Michigan at the moment. But don't count out Rutgers with this one. This would be an interesting one. He's a Jersey kid. I think he's from Ewing, if I recall correctly, somewhere in West Jersey, right on the border. But he is very into Rutgers, likes the idea of staying potentially home. And honestly, this is a kid that from maybe not day one, but early on he'd play. He's phenomenal. He is a high four-star kid, number 148 in the country, top 10 defensive tackle in the country. If you can land that, that is game changing for this class.
Oh yeah.
I don't think they do. I have my future cast in for Michigan at the moment, but I think that they're putting up a hell of a fight. There's also Bryce Jenkins, who's an offensive guard listed per Rivals, but he's defensive tackle for Rutgers. He's getting recruited for both, depending on the school. Mm-hmm. He went to Rutgers, then Maryland, then South Carolina, and Tennessee. I don't know if that's the correct order, but you get the gist. It's those four. The thing with those other three schools is they're going to throw some significant NIL at you. Tennessee specifically is throwing a lot. South Carolina is throwing a lot. Maryland throws a little bit, but not as much. But it is a hometown school. I don't think he ends up at Rutgers, so probably won't even bother with him too much. But Elijah Crawford's the last one. He's a three-star out of McDonough High School down in Owings Mills, Maryland. McDonough produces defensive linemen at like a crazy rate.
Yeah.
Some of you might know Chop Robinson. If you don't, he's like one of the first rounders this past year. He's one of the guys. Penn State has a really good relationship down there, but they're not involved with him, which I find interesting. But they produce like a D1 defensive lineman like every year. This is going to be between Rutgers, Kansas, and West Virginia. I think he's the most realistic of the three, but I think they're still kind of holding out a little bit of hope that they might be able to pull Maxwell Roy. Now, he's going to decide on July 5th, so keep an eye out for that. That won't be till next 2 weeks, right? Two Fridays from now. So something to keep an eye on. I think Kansas might be out from what I was told, so that's also something to kind of come down to Rutgers or West Virginia. I know West Virginia hosted them this weekend, and that's really it.
A lot of recruiting updates there. So for those of you who follow along, you take a deep breath. We're done with the updates there. We're almost done with the class. And then they'll transition on to the 26 kids. And anybody that you're hearing in the 26 class that Rutgers is doing particularly well with that you might forecast as an early commitment for Rutgers?
They don't have a ton of offers out right now. Quarterback recruiting, 2026 quarterback recruiting specifically, is starting to heat up quite a bit. Now, this isn't Rutgers related per se, because they're not going after the five stars from like California and all that stuff. But you're starting to see more and more 2026 top-ranked quarterbacks commit, and you're going to see like a domino effect of sorts. They're already starting to see it at the top level. I know, who was it? Michigan got Brady Hart. Dia Bell committed to Texas. And then you're starting to see like schools like Ohio State like push like some other guys. Brady Schmiegel just committed to Michigan. or somewhere else. I forget where he committed, but regardless, you're starting to see it more and more. Quarterback recruiting is at just getting pushed up more and more. So I wouldn't be surprised if you saw one of Rutgers' two recruits make a decision soon, whether that be Gavin Sidwer out of LaSalle College in Pennsylvania, who was on campus for a midweek 2 weeks ago, or Derek Zammit, who's on campus again this weekend. I think they can land Zammit if they push for him. He's just taking his time a little bit. He wants to take a couple more visits, but it's at the point where like these kids have to kind of decide like soon. Otherwise they're just going to go look for someone else. Other than that, I've kind of looked through some of these names. Nothing too crazy. Dominic Funk, defensive end out of Massachusetts, is one I'm keeping an eye on. Chris Hewitt, four-star safety out of Calvert Hall College High School down in Maryland. We know they've landed Reggie Sutton out of there, but they've done a pretty good job recruiting him. It's also obviously related to Matt Hewitt. I believe Matt Hewitt's his uncle, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. I can't remember that one for sure.
Yeah, I think his dad coaches with the Ravens, and he's been there basically since he left Rutgers.
Yep, and his dad, like you said, coached Rutgers. So it makes a lot of sense for Rutgers to pull that one off. It's going to be tough. Not going to be easy, but that's really it. I don't see another name that I'm even close to pursuing. Jermaine Kinsler, because his uncle is Latish Kinsler. Latish Kinsler's son plays for Rutgers. Latish Kinsler is the advisor for multiple Rutgers commits and players at the moment. So plays a factor. Definitely keep an eye on that one. But that's really it for the moment.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. So he was an assistant. Chris Hewitt, his dad, was an assistant at Rutgers from 2004 to 2011. When Chiana left, he left.
Yeah.
He's been with the Ravens ever since. So he joined them in 2012, and he has worked his way up from DB's coach to pass defensive coordinator to pass game coordinator and secondary coach to assistant head coach, pass game coordinator, and secondary coach. So he has climbed the ranks with Coach John Harbaugh there, and he's become an integral part of what they do as a team. So,
yeah, Jersey native makes a lot of sense. I'm just saying.
Yep.
So.
All right, guys. Well, that's all we got. I want to thank you once again for listening. Thanks to everybody who has liked, rated, reviewed, told a friend, subscribed, all of those things. It really helps the show grow, and keep doing it. If you haven't done it already, the easiest thing you can do to help the show grow is to give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting app.
I do have one more thing. We didn't talk about the wrestling stuff because there was a couple updates a little bit.
Okay, let's hear it.
They had a bunch of people on campus this weekend for interviews. Hearing some notable names, we're not going to throw those names out because we don't want to ruin anything, but some notable names from other Power 2, Power 3 schools. I don't know what you call them in wrestling, but from Power programs, I should say. Some names that you would be a little shocked and be like, oh, shit, like, wow. Also, Sebastian Revere, I know we previously talked about a potential assistant coaching spot for him. It sounds like he's going between either – this won't be decided until after Olympics. It's going to be between staying with the SKWC, Scarlet Knights Wrestling Club, or going to Columbia as an assistant with Donnie Prisloff. It's kind of a decision he won't make until after the Olympics, so some time there. But losing him for the – even if you lose him from the SKWC, it's going to hurt a little bit because you don't have an All-American after that. So the good news is you'll have some more money, so you can kind of work with that and see what you can do. But resident athletes are not cheap nowadays. So it's starting to take shape a little bit, and as soon as we can report the names that were on campus, you'll see them on the roundtable message board as always. So just keep an eye out for that.
Love to hear it. I can't wait to hear some of those names when they can be reported. But for me and Richie, this has been another edition of the Night Report podcast. I'm signing off.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work.
Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.